Serena Williams is not riding off into the sunset just yet. I'm so glad we have her around for at least another night, another match, because we got to see the joy. And certainly the fans were going to give Serena a proper welcome and a fond, affectionate, raucous goodbye if this was the last match for her, no doubt. But the idea that they got to cheer her in a victory, to me, that's more fitting. And to see the way that she was showered with praise and appreciation for everything she's meant to the U.S. Open, to American tennis, to the sport globally, I'm glad it came in a win. Because what have we seen her do the majority of the last 20 years? 20 plus years, actually. We've seen her win 23 singles titles at the major level, including a handful of U.S. Opens. But more than that, she's won everywhere in the world. She's won in a unique, powerful, explosive, dominant style. Serena and Venus revolutionized women's tennis with their athleticism and their power. But they also have won a bunch of doubles titles together. Tennis will never be the same. It's similar to the effect that Tiger Woods had on golf. And for her to be celebrated and walk off the court a winner, maybe this is the last time, maybe it's not. At 40 years old, every match now is a different challenge. And while she's a straight set winner on Monday night in front of a sold out crowd, roughly 24,000 people, there's no guarantee that she will continue to win. She knows that. The crowd knows that, which is why so many people are anxious to catch one last glimpse. But she's not done yet. And I think it's amazing that on this stage, which may or may not be her final competitive tournament in the sport that she's rewritten over the past two decades, to walk off the court a winner at least one more time, I think it changes not only the narrative, but man, for her, either way, she's moving on to the next phase of her life, but this is always what she's cared about, winning. It's her competitive fire and spirit that gave her an edge on the court for so many years, in addition to her physical tools. Congratulations to Serena. One more win, at least, at the U.S. Open, and we'll hear from her coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There's certainly been plenty of traffic and plenty of your running commentary. I would have to say most of it commentary without being informed, but I suppose that is how social media goes for the majority of people these days. Truth and information are, they're relative and they're optional when it comes to social media, but at least we try to give you the facts and to give you a thoughtful exchange and present multiple angles. So if you missed our conversation about the Buffalo Bills and what happened with their punter over the weekend, that conversation is up on our podcast, but also on both Twitter and Facebook. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. We had a bombshell from the NFL on Monday afternoon. This was, well, it was what greeted me in the first few minutes of me being conscious and awake and remembering what I do for a living. It's that time of the year where you can't wake up slowly. meaning when I wake up, right? So I don't sleep when most people do. I sleep usually until mid-afternoon. If it's a good day, I sleep until 4 o'clock Eastern time. And this time of the year, even more so when we get to NFL Sundays and then Mondays, this time of the year, there's no waking up slowly. The second I open Twitter, the second I open my CBS Sports app, in your face. Everything is in your face. It's not even technically football season yet, pro football. I mean, we still have a few days left. Our fading summer, we still have a few days left. But man, the spin cycle and the buzz, the anticipation, and the fact that the NFL has turned into a bully in the center ring of the circus, you get out. No, you get out. Just, oh my goodness. I can feel it already. I can feel it in my gut. I can feel that tension and that anticipation. And to that end, as I say, major bombshell coming from the Bay Area. Even people who cover the San Francisco 49ers did not see this one coming. I don't know if the Niners saw this one coming either. Seems like this was their best option to salvage a plan that has not worked out the way they expected. Jimmy Garoppolo will remain with the Niners, maybe for the entire season. And so we'll get the reaction of one NFL insider coming up, as well as a former NFL QB who is a Super Bowl winner. And he just finished his radio show for the VSiN Network in Las Vegas. So Sean King will join us at the top of next hour. Actually, we were both at my previous network at the same time. So it's been a while since we've crossed paths, but I'm looking forward to a few minutes with Sean. Be interesting to see how this plays out on the field. Because if you are Kyle Shanahan, are you giving Trey Lance all the space and all the room he needs to try and fail? What if the team starts slowly? What if the offense has a poor first month and there are some growing pains? Do you then turn around and pull Trey Lance and put Garoppolo back on the field? We know this is a team that expects to win. They went to the NFC Championship last year in Los Angeles against the Rams. Say what you want about Garoppolo's skills. No one's saying he's Aaron Rodgers. But his teams win. When he's on the field, the team wins. And isn't that ultimately the name of the game? Sure, stats are nice and all. They're flashy. But stats don't win Super Bowls. Again, thinking of Aaron Rodgers. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. In Major League Baseball, we have one more giant step toward baseball immortality.
And the next pitch to Albert is hit high and deep to right field. Backing up to the track, looking up, and it's gone! Home run, Albert Pujols! Number 694. And he took it the other way. And he's now had more home runs off of more different pitchers than anybody who's ever played this game. And the Cardinals add two more runs. Albert Pujols does it again.
That is the call on Cardinals radio. Awesome to finally get another home run. And the reason I say finally is because we had gone over a week without a dinger by Albert Pujols, and I was starting to get a little nervous. I know that's not fair. There's plenty of time left. There's a month left in the regular season, and the Cardinals will be playing in the postseason. right now, they're sitting on 129 games. So they still have 33 to go if we're 162. Yeah, 33 games to go. Plenty of time, plenty of real estate for Albert Pujols. But I want this so desperately for him and for baseball that I'm relieved, also ecstatic, that Albert hits number 694. Now two behind Alex Rodriguez, but forget that. Six away from 700 and baseball immortality. Now, I have a bone to pick with you at the Great American Ballpark. I get it. The Reds stink. They've only got 50 wins this season. But the Cardinals are in town. Okay, maybe you don't want to go see an NL Central rival. But Albert Pujols is in the lineup. Jay, take a wild guess how many people were in the ballpark. Did you see the, I don't know if you saw the empty outfield.
I haven't. I'll take a guess in Cincinnati. I'll go with like 12,000, 15,000, that range.
11,051 wow. Fans was the announced attendance. It was so unbelievably empty. Oh my gosh. If I lived anywhere near there, I would have gone to the game just to see him. I get it. The Reds stink and they got pounded. Tyler O'Neill with two more home runs. This is a red-hot Cardinals team that's won 13 of its last 16. But there are some pretty impressive players and streaks going for the Cardinals right now. Not to mention, you might have an opportunity to see one of the last home runs that Albert Pujols will ever hit. And only 11,000 showed up. There are entire sections of the upper deck that don't have a body in them. That is, I mean, I'm stunned by that. If for no other reason than it's Albert Pujols. Wow. I mean, wait till you see. I don't know if there's a still photo that you can grab of the outfield or Albert Pujols hitting that home run. Maybe there's like a camera angle that's behind him that shows the outfield, Jay. Our show Twitter is After Hours CBS. As you hear on Cardinals radio, not only is it 694 for Albert, but he now has homered off more pitchers in big league history than any other player. He snapped a tie with Barry Bonds. 450 pitchers. Although if it's me, I'm thrilled that I was a part of history. And yeah, the support, not only from his teammates, not only from the Cardinals fan base, and there were a few of them there in Cincinnati, but even the support from people around the majors and outside of baseball, right now it's a buoy for Albert Pujols.
It's pretty special, you know. I think, you know, I appreciate, you know, the history and what I've done for this game. And, I mean, at the same time, it feeds on you, you know, the energy. I mean, last night, you know, the illustration and our fans, you know, the way that they're being going up every time I get to the play. I mean, it's pretty special. And that feeds you, you know, with the energy and what you need. So, obviously, you know, sometimes you're going to come through. And last night, you know, I didn't come through for the team, but we ended up having a win, you know, came back and fought, and we won the game. So, but it's really special, you know, it means a lot to me, and right now I'm enjoying it, and that's what I'm going to continue to do, you know, the rest of the year.
We're having a blast watching him do what he's doing. He swung the bat well, came out tonight again, and got the base hit, and then the homer backside, but he didn't hit that hard, but he's putting together a nice season. It's fun to watch.
It's really crazy, honestly. You know, the guy's a walking legend, a living Hall of Famer. You know, he broke another record tonight. You know, it seems like every time he's hitting a homer right now, he's breaking records, and he's pretty close to a big one, too. So, you know, hopefully he can keep getting these ABs and get to 700. That'd be pretty cool.
Tyler O'Neill, one of the hottest hitters in the NL Central, maybe the National League overall. He had a couple of home runs, three RBI. I remember he had the go-ahead homer, was that a tie-breaking homer, I think, on Sunday. And so between him and Nolan Arenado and this chase for 700 with Albert Pujols, not to mention the way that the Cardinals are playing right now as a team. Really, this winning and this hitting is contagious. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of contagious, I don't think the losing for the Yankees is contagious, but I do think this offensive slump that they slide into unexpectedly here and there, the one that causes Aaron Boone to slam the table, that also, I think as a team, sometimes they can feel the pressure. We've heard Aaron Boone refer to the Yankees as getting tight. You know, in their last two games over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, remind me who they were playing. Oakland, thank you. That's right, they're on a West Coast swing. So they were taking on the A's, one of the worst teams in baseball. They had won the first two games, partly with the return of Giancarlo Stanton and then Gerrit Cole pitching really well. But they end up going so unbelievably silent with the bats on Saturday and Sunday. In 11 innings on Saturday, they have one hit, and only four hits on Sunday in yet another loss. Now here they are in Anaheim for a series with a lot of star power. And yes, Aaron Judge hits home run number 50. But they still don't generate enough offense around him to support their pitchers or to get back on the winning track. Nah, in fact, the big home run of this game on Monday night did not come from Aaron Judge.
2-2 game in the fifth. Next pitch swings and drives one deep into right center field. This ball's carrying deep, and this one is out of here. Shohei Ohtani has just hit his 29th home run of the season. Angels are back on top.
Oh, yes, they are. In fact, that's the go-ahead. Terry Smith on Angels Radio. So yes, Aaron Judge number 50, which is a huge number and a big deal. Notwithstanding, the Yankees lose to the Angels 4-3 and now have yet another losing skid. This one maybe modest, but still, three losses in a row. And the fact that they've lost all three to teams with losing records, that also speaks volumes.
It's aggravating anytime I lose, so, you know. I don't care if it's who you think we should beat or not. You know, we gotta pick ourselves up and it's the big leagues, you know. And that Angel team is playing really well right now.
Okay, whatevs. I get it. The Angels are a lot better than their record indicates, but these Yankees are not gonna win, Jack. These Yankees are not gonna win a World Series. These Yankees are not scary at all. They have pitchers who can give them an opportunity to win, right? They have pitchers who can go out there and give quality starts. They have a very strong bullpen most of the time. Clay Holmes just came back from the IL. Aroldis Chapman's got an infectious tattoo. But for the most part, their pitching's okay. Frankie Montas was making yet another start tonight. He wasn't pounded by any stretch of the imagination, so he has settled down after the trade and four starts with an ERA of near 9. But he does allow the four earned runs, all of them, but he goes 6 innings. That shouldn't be an issue for the Yankees because they've got one of the best run differentials in baseball. But it's not nearly as high as it used to be. It's still the best in the American League. But there are times when the offense legit disappears. Gone. In a cloud of dust. Where are the Yankees? It's like a game of Where's Waldo?
The Yankees? Right in front of us.
Yeah, it's right in front of you, but sometimes it's dormant. I don't know. I'm speaking from somebody who's outside baseball, but I can't imagine anybody's too afraid of this team. Still with a 7-game lead over the Rays and the Blue Jays. An 8-game lead over Toronto in the AL East. But this is not how the Yankees want to play as they enter the stretch run or look ahead to October. We have a lot to get to. We're going to break from team sports, though, to hear from Serena Williams, a victor on the U.S. Open hard courts for at least one more time. And then top of the hour, Sean King, former NFL QB, Super Bowl champion, will join us from Las Vegas. Glad to have you with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Today I gave all I could do, you know, today. Maybe tomorrow I could have gave more. Maybe a week ago I could have gave more. But today was what I could do. And at some point, you have to be able to be okay with that. And that's all I can do. I can't change time or anything.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I think looking at Serena's career, we could all say she's made the most of her time. But she has different plans for the future. We have already heard her talk about the fact that she wants to explore different business ventures, the fact that she wants to give her daughter a sibling. I don't know if you saw the match that she played on Monday night or if you've seen the videos or the photos, but her sweet daughter, as well as her husband and other members of her family, were in the crowd there at the U.S. Open at Arthur Ashe Court. And so it's really neat to know this is not only a family affair, but it's a celebration more than it is a sad parting. And yes, tennis will miss her. Again, I use the analogy of Tiger Woods, the same way that golf misses Tiger and his constant presence. But she's not going to disappear. If you know anything about Serena, if you followed her career, you know that she is a winner in pretty much everything she tries. So why would it be different at this point?
I prefer the word evolution because I feel like I'm at a stage of my life where I'm not necessarily retiring. I'm just evolving from tennis. And I do feel different. I think I was really emotional in Toronto and Cincinnati, and it was just... it was very difficult, and not saying it's not difficult now, it's extremely difficult still, because I absolutely love being out there, and the more tournaments I play, I feel like the more I can belong out there, and that's a tough feeling to have, and to leave knowing that the more you do it, the more you can shine. So, but it's time for me, you know, to evolve to the next thing. I think it's important because there's so many other things that I want to do and et cetera.
Serena mentions the emotions, and you hear it as we begin the segment with her following her Wimbledon exit. Well, on Monday night, she had a victory at the U.S. Open, and the fans not only emotional to match her emotion and intensity, but soaking it all in, recognizing that this is the best opportunity in New York that the fans will have to be personal with Serena. This is one of the biggest stages in sports. And it's one where she has played extremely well. And if this is the end, this is the last we see of her, then you don't want to waste the opportunity. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. She's still not really giving a straight answer about whether or not this is her last tourney.
Yeah, I've been pretty vague about it, right? Yeah. I'm going to stay vague because you never know.
I like that. I like the fact that she is going to remain vague. She was definitely emotional, though. There were tears in her eyes, huge smiles. Lots of the fist pumps and the yells, which is what we've come to expect with her because of her intensity. And there's something else that she'll take away from this first round win.
I think when I walked out, the reception was really overwhelming. It was loud, and it was I could feel it in my chest, and it was a really good feeling. It's a feeling I'll never forget. And so I really, that meant a lot to me. I was just thinking, like, is this for real, really? And at the same time, I'm also thinking, you know, I still have a match to play, and I want to be able to play up to this reception almost. And it was so loud, and I just was overwhelmed in a good way. And yeah, but at the same time, it's like you have to be focused and you have to be laser focused, and that's what I needed to do, and that's what I tried to do.
I think that her legacy is really wide to the point where you can't even describe it in words. Like, she changed the sport so much. She's introduced people that have never heard of tennis into the sport, and I think I'm a product of what she's done. I wouldn't be here without Serena, Venus, you know, her whole family, and I'm, like, very thankful to her. And I was, like, trying to figure out how to sum it into words, but I honestly think that she's, like, the biggest force in the sport, and that's not, like, intentionally trying to, like, make Federer or Nadal smaller. I just think, like, she's the biggest thing that will ever be in the sport.
I love that. What a tribute from Naomi Osaka going back to Sunday. Serena is not done. The swan song is not over. She gets to walk off center court a winner on Monday night. And if you were following social media, well, you know that anyone and everyone is taking the opportunity to be part of it, to catch part of it, to celebrate what she's meant. And sometimes words will fail, but I think her smile, her emotion, her presence, that's worth it. So please tune in to her match on Wednesday. We'll have more from Serena coming up a little bit later on. Top of the hour, former NFL QB and Tampa Bay Super Bowl champion Sean King will join us from Las Vegas. He's with the Visa Network now, and he's a good talker. Can't wait to hear what he has to say about Jimmy Garoppolo. We'll get the deets coming up with Ian Rappaport, as well as a little more from the baseball diamond. You know the drama. You know the drill when we get late in August. It's August 29th, by the way. This is your last Monday night in August. Let that sink in for a second. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Niners take over on the 24-yard line. Look at the tie of the game. Mitchell goes in motion out left. Jimmy looks right. Jimmy has a long time. Throws for the end zone. It is caught in the back of the end zone by George Kittle. Touchdown, San Francisco.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
As it turns out, we're still going to have Jimmy Garoppolo as a member of the San Francisco 49ers. The restructured contract being the big story coming from the NFL on one of the last Mondays before the season officially kicks off. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get the opinion of former NFL QB and Super Bowl champion Sean King when he joins us at the top of the hour from Las Vegas and Visa Network. But here are the details and the reaction of Ian Rappaport on NFL Network.
It's really an unbelievable thing that this is where we ended up with the 49ers making it very clear publicly that they're moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo, who is Trey Lance's team. He didn't even practice with the team, but they talked and they talked and they maintained such a good relationship that they're able to bring Jimmy G back on a contract that makes sense for all sides. If he plays, if he starts, he gets paid. If he doesn't, he gets really good backup money. And, you know, essentially can now kind of re-enter the locker room with his head held high, did a lot of great things for the team. Was about as stand up a player and person as you could imagine. So in he comes as the backup, and if something happens to Trey Lance or he is not what they thought, he steps right in. If you get to midseason and Lance is better than you thought, they could just trade Garoppolo for what they wanted to originally, which is a really high draft pick. An incredible situation that ends like this, but the actual end has not yet been told. So we'll see where Trey Lance is by the end of this year.
Interesting. I mean, what a plot twist. It blew up around 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock San Francisco time. And it's a restructured contract. So this means both the team and Jimmy had to agree to make this move. Remember, he was playing the final year of that big deal that the Niners gave him after he was traded from the Patriots. And it was set to pay him roughly $26 million, which was maybe part of the reason why the Niners hadn't found a trade partner yet, but also was going to be fully guaranteed if he was on the roster week one. So the Niners were staring at a couple of unenviable choices. Cut him and get nothing for him, but avoid paying his fully guaranteed salary. And or if you trade him, no doubt the team that you traded him to would expect you to pay some of that salary. Or keep him and pay it all. So they found a happy medium. But this, I find this part to be fascinating. The restructured contract includes a no trade, no tag clause. So the Niners had to give up something. They took some of that money back from Garoppolo's contract. The cap hit is sizably less. But they also have lost the power to trade him anywhere they want him to go. To me, that wrinkle is so, so interesting. And it speaks volumes about Garoppolo's desire, what he values most. And as I've said multiple times over the course of the last few months, it speaks volumes about who he is as a teammate, as a leader, and as a man. No one complains about Jimmy Garoppolo in that Niners locker room. No one. No one's using back channels, sources, leaking that he's a bad teammate, or he sucks as a leader, or he's in a bad mood, or he's trying to sabotage Trey Lance, or that they don't want him around. That's not coming out. None of it is coming out of the Bay Area. Compare that to the situation with Baker Mayfield and how sources and former teammates and current teammates are using either members of the media or social media to trash him. And whether or not they're being truthful or they just have an axe to grind, they still make headlines. No one said a peep negatively about Jimmy. And that's a credit to him. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Obviously, Jimmy wants to start. But at this point, there are no starting jobs available. The one he's likeliest to get, or the opportunity to start, is more likely to happen in the Bay Area than anywhere else. Right? Trey Lance is still raw. We know all of his athletic prowess. We've seen a lot of his power and explosiveness touted by the Niners, not to mention we've seen it on the field in the limited sample size that we have. But we also recognize that he's young and that the Niners drafted him as a project last summer. Or last spring, excuse me. He was never expected to be their starter in his rookie year. Now you think about Garoppolo and his track record with the Niners and the fact that he's steady Eddie. You know what his ceiling is. So he's maybe not as high risk as Trey Lance, but he's also not as high reward. But if he's going to start anywhere, he'd have to wait for a guy to get injured or wait for some other drastic move, right? He's closer to starting again with the Niners. And I hope Trey Lance works out. But quarterbacks get injured. And in the case of the Niners, and I'll say exactly what I said last year. Now, it's not the same situation, obviously, because Trey Lance is QB1 now. But the Niners have championship aspirations. Their roster has a ton of star power. And they like what they've got on both sides of the ball. So because they're a team that expects to be part of the mix in both the NFC West as well as the NFC and the playoffs as a whole, well, it's good to have a steady Eddie as a backup that you can rely on. You know what you get with Jimmy Garoppolo. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I shared a photo on both Twitter and Facebook, and actually on Twitter it was just a couple hours ago, because I'm on this kick right now where I'm always looking up. Clouds are my favorite subjects to photograph. It's been that way for a couple of years, but even more so this year. And so I... this is me. Everyone else at the ballpark is looking for their beer, is looking at the players, is watching what's happening on the field. I'm the one who's looking up and waiting for the clouds to be in just the right position to serve as a fantastic subject for a new photograph. So I shared this photo, and Jay and I shared it on Facebook on Monday morning. So you can check that out, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I know some of you commented on my clouds, but I just shared it on Twitter a little while ago, A-Law Radio. Clouds are even better at the ballpark. They're so photogenic. Have you ever noticed how clouds are so photogenic? They make me happy, especially when they're all different colors and when the sun is involved. But I actually prefer taking photos of skies that have clouds because they give it depth and character. If you've never seen my Twitter profile page, my header, so not my photo, although they were taken in the same place, my header picture on my actual profile page is the craziest cloud photo I've ever taken. My mom says it looks like aliens descending from the sky. It was a storm rolling in on Atlantic Beach in North Carolina, and it is scary. And I was standing right underneath it taking a photo.
There's no filter in that photo at all.
I don't do filters.
I know that, but...
I just don't use photos that I don't like, but I do not use filters ever.
That looks amazing.
Used to have Snapchat, I would do filters every now and then just for fun. But my camera on my Galaxy, it's an S10e, if you must know, is so dang good that I don't need filters. I mean, that's what the sky looks like. Also, why would you want to change what the photo is? I mean,
so when you took that picture that you just posted at the Mets game, mm-hmm. remember we were saying how the sky, even in the sky, like, didn't even look as good as it did in the picture that you took somehow. It's
definitely a glorious photo. But you know, Jay, that I don't do filters.
No, you never do.
I don't want to. In fact, even when I take photos of me, no, I don't generally post photos I don't like. But sometimes I take photos without makeup, and sometimes I take photos with a hat on, and sometimes I take photos that are just what they are, and I don't change them. I don't like to be fake. I am what I am, and the clouds do not need any filter, that's for sure. So, yeah, you can check that out. That was fun. And Jay was there, too. That was on Saturday. We were there for the Mets old-timers game, and it was my thank you. Jay's a big Mets fan, so it was my thank you to Jay for putting up with me and the show for 1 year. Certainly his popularity has ballooned because you all love him a lot more than you do me.
I don't think that's
true. Oh, it's so true. You know it's true. Everyone's on your side. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Again, we'll talk about quarterback things, but we'll start with Jimmy Garoppolo when Sean King joins us at the top of the hour. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. So social media, also our YouTube channel. Jay and I are going to do some double duty because as I get set for vacation, and when I say vacation, I mean checking the bleep out come Wednesday morning. I'm out. I know I'm not going international like Jay did, or actually my sister-in-law and my brother are finishing up a vacation in Iceland, and the photos that she sent me on Monday. So Monday is a milestone birthday for my sister-in-law, and we had already done a kind of family party as a surprise for her in early August, but she and my brother had planned this trip to Iceland. They love to travel. They don't have pets. The kids are out of the house, so they can kind of pick up and go whenever they like, which is a little bit of a source of envy for me, but my sister-in-law and I are planning a trip to the Holy Land in Jerusalem sometime in the next couple of years once Penny is no longer with us. But for now, she's still with me. Anyway, so they're in Iceland, and you want to talk about photos. Wowzers. They were sending some pretty amazing photos. So anyway, We were talking about shoot.
The clouds?
Yeah, clouds, yeah,
Mets,
but that's not...
Photos?
Yeah, it's Mets. I don't
Beach.
Know. No, it wasn't that. It was something else. I had a point. I was going somewhere with that story, and then I got sidetracked. You know me, my brain is like a plate of spaghetti, right? So think about big, long strands of spaghetti slathered with your favorite sauce, whether it's marinara or whether it's some cheese sauce.
Milestone birthday.
And I pull one piece of spaghetti off the plate and a bunch of other thoughts come jumbling off the plate and crumbling off the plate. So I have no idea. Whatever. I'm sure I'll figure it out. Sean King is next here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.